Good evening. I appreciate the comments that I received this morning after this morning's lesson. I appreciate the encouragement. We were trying to study this morning about improvement, and some of you had some kind things to say, and I want to say that this evening's lesson is the flip side to this morning's lesson. This morning, we looked at the importance of improving, and that really is God's way for our life. As challenging or maybe even painful as that may be, He wants us to add and progress and abound and increase and grow and those types of things. This evening, we want to look at what might be a very common matter of keeping us from improving. And it's what Jesus describes in the well-known parable of the sower, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life can choke us out. And understand the ladies' Bible class studied this a little bit yesterday. The point that Jesus makes here is very common, and it's something that I want to look at in detail this evening. If you think about what causes a Christian to be unfruitful, what might cause us or keep us from improving, like we talked about this morning? What can make a person unfruitful? Have you ever thought about that? Think about our own members here at Warfield Boulevard. What might a Christian be doing right here at Warfield Boulevard that would keep us from being unfruitful or keep us from improving like we need to improve? Would it be something of a grave worldly immorality? Do you know of anybody fornicating and committing adultery? I don't know of anybody doing that. Can that be something that would cause someone to be unfruitful? Of course, but I don't really know of anybody doing that, do you? There are brethren who do that, and that's a shame, and that's unfortunate, but that's not really common. Could it be some unauthorized practice? It could be something where somebody is not following the biblical pattern, biblical authority. We've had lessons here recently on instrumental music and things like that. Well, it could be, but do you know of anybody here at Warfield Boulevard doing that kind of thing? No. And so while that may be something that can cause someone, it's not that common among sometimes brethren that we know. We might know of some other churches of Christ doing things that are unauthorized, but we're talking about in our own local congregation. We've just recently gone through 2 Peter, and where Peter talks about false teachers will arise. Well, do you know of anybody teaching error and false doctrine here at Warfield Boulevard? I don't know of anybody. And if I'm ever doing that, please bring that to my attention, but I don't know of anybody that's doing that. That could cause someone to be unfruitful, but it's not common among us. And so we might see these kinds of things, and that can certainly be among brethren, but I think what is more common is what Jesus talks about in the parable of the sower, and that is cares, riches, and pleasures. Now, that could be among us, and we could be guilty of that very kind of thing. We don't know of a lot of brethren committing some gross worldly immorality and unauthorized practices and false teaching, but it could be just simple distractions keeping us from the Word bearing fruit in our heart. It could be those material things. It could be desires for things of this life. So this evening, I want us to look at a very familiar part of a very familiar parable in what we call the thorny ground. And I want us to see how we can be engaged in this. And it's the very thing that keeps us from improving. So it's the flip side to this morning's lesson. I want us to improve. And this evening, I want us to be mindful of the very thing that can keep us from improving. When you look at the parable of the sower in all three accounts, in Luke chapter 8, Jesus talks about cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. In Matthew and Mark's account, they add cares of the world. And the word that is used there is age. A particular age that we're in, that can be There's something going on in the 21st century, in 2017. There's something going on that is popular, that is common, and that can choke out the Word in a Christian's life. What is going on in our age that might do that? In Luke's account, he says riches, but in Matthew and Mark's account, Jesus says the deceitfulness of riches. There's nothing wrong with material things per se, but material things can deceive us in some ways that we're going to see this evening. And when that happens, then the Word does not work in our lives. And when Jesus says the pleasures of this life, we're going to see this evening that that is a word from which we get the word hedonism. And you might be thinking, well, I'm not engaged in that kind of thing. A hedonistic person might be someone who is just completely maybe sexually immoral, or they've given their lives unto gross immorality. But in Mark's account, Jesus puts it this way, the lust of other things. And the word lust there is not a word that is limited to, for example, the lust of the eye or the lust of the flesh or sexual lust, but just desire. Desire of other things. Do you see how general and neutral that is? It could be just desire for other things. That can choke out the Word. We begin to see that this could be common, more common among us than these other things. And this could be the very thing that is keeping us from improving, growing, increasing, and those things that we talked about this morning. So let's look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. Jesus says that the Word of God is trying to work in our lives. And I believe that this passage can be applied to someone who is becoming a Christian for the first time, or even someone who is a Christian. God's Word can work in a certain heart, but there's certain hearts that God's Word cannot work in. And they which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. What are the cares of the world? What are the deceitfulness of riches? And what is this desire or pleasure for other things? We want this evening for the Word of God to grow in our lives. So let's examine these three things, so that we can see what the devil uses to keep that improvement from happening, like we talked about this morning. Jesus says, cares. The word used here means literally a distraction. The merimna is the distraction. To be pulled in a different direction. It's translated cares. And so there's something in this life, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But because we're focusing on that, it's pulling us in a direction we shouldn't go in. Not all cares are bad. The same word is used by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28 about how that the members have the same care one for another. We need to care for each other here at the Warfield Boulevard family. We need to have the same care one for another. That's a good thing. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28 about how that he had the care for all the churches. That's a good thing. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul talks about how that there's nobody like Timothy who cares for you. So clearly there are spiritual cares and concerns that we need to have in our life with regard to the local church and with regard to our brethren. That's obviously not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the cares of this age, the cares of this world. And these things can cause us to be unfruitful. These things can keep God's Word from working in our life. A great lesson might be presented by one of the men here, and it's a super lesson, but it's not going to work in my life because of the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at a few things this evening, right in this one chapter, that deal with cares of this life. So Jesus, what are you talking about? When you say that certain cares can keep the Word from working in our life, what kinds of things are you talking about, Jesus? Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, be not anxious. And this is the same word used in Luke 8 for cares. Be careful, be anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food and the body more than raiment? The first thing I would say that is a care that can distract us is just the necessities of life. When we're out working for food, shelter, and clothing, there's nothing wrong with working. We're supposed to. But that itself, being careful for just the necessities of this life, can take us away from Christ and keep the Word from working in our life. We can be so careful about just necessities of this life. In verse 25, he's talking about eating and clothes. But when that becomes a focus, then we find that we're not the Christian that we need to be. He brings it up again in verse 28, the raiment that we wear, the clothing that we wear. He brings it up again in verse 31, be not therefore anxious. That's the same idea there in Luke chapter 8, a care. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? We obviously have to eat something. We obviously have to have clothes on. We obviously have to have a place to live, and God wants us to work in order to support those kinds of things. But that can become a focus that takes us away from Christ. And sometimes you'll see that among brethren, that they're working for those necessities of life, but they're so distracted by that that they're taken away from serving the Lord. Look with me at verse 27. Here's a second thing. How about our own physical body? Verse 27, in which of you being anxious, the same idea of care, can add one cubit unto the measure of his life or his stature? What about physical things, our body? And we need to take care of our bodies. And there's other passages that talk about how that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But a person can be so focused on that, looks and diet and working out and this type of thing, that it takes them away from the Lord in some kind of way. The physical body can be a care. He uses the word care for eating and clothes. He uses the word care for your own body. But let's look at a third thing. Look at verse 34. What about the future? Verse 34, be not therefore anxious, the same word, care. A person can be distracted and divided and brought off to the side for the morrow. For the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus is not saying don't ever plan ahead, but some people, in so being cared about the future, are distracted from serving the Lord. You see, these are just simple things of life. It has nothing to do with immorality or false teaching or unauthorized practices, but it can be just simply what we call the cares of this life. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Let's look at another thing. You know, it could be just simply the daily routines that we have. We can be so involved in the daily routines of this life that it can be something that can take us away from serving the Lord. We know about Mary and Martha. And Martha, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40, Jesus is in their home and she's cumbered about with much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But the Lord answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious. The same idea as in Luke 8. You are careful. You have this care for making sure the house is clean and the food is ready. I'm in your home. And that has become a distraction to you. It's just a daily routine that she was involved in. There's nothing wrong with keeping a clean house and fixing a meal. But she had got sidetracked on that. You are anxious, the same word care, and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, for Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Well, what was she doing? Back up in verse 39, she was sitting at the Lord's feet and heard his word. It could just be daily routines. And so while we're we're working on the food and the clothing and the shelter and our physical body, and we're thinking about Monday, tomorrow, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, and then we've got our daily routines. These types of things can be a care that can actually keep the Word from working in our life. Daily routines. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 7. Let's look at something else. The point of all of this is that these things in and of themselves are not necessarily wrong, but they can be a care that causes us to be anxious or focused on that, and it takes us away from serving the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Could marriage be a care that could take someone away from the Lord? Sure. I've seen that happen in the Lord's church where someone is married to someone and their desire to be with them and please them and work with them, sometimes it takes them away from the Lord. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 in verse 32 and 33, "I would have you to be free from cares. He that is unmarried is careful for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married is careful for the things of the world, how he may please his wife." Paul is not saying marriage is bad. There are many places where Paul extols marriage. He knows that marriage is from God, back in Genesis chapter 2. He extols marriage in Ephesians chapter 5 and other places in his writings. But he admits that marriage can cause someone to have care for the things of this life and take them away from the Lord. Under this present distress, then, he recommends being single. But you see there in verse 33 that a person can be careful for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And there can be a undue care in marriage that can take someone away from the Lord. So what we need to do is, knowing that these things are out there, and knowing that they can be a focus that can take us away, we need to be careful not to let these things choke us out. We need to be different. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32. We work with and live in communities with and go to school with people who allow these things that we've just talked about, they allow those things to keep them from serving the Lord. If you stop and think about it, have you ever talked with someone, maybe a neighbor, and you're trying to invite them to services, and the reason they won't come is because they're committing adultery? No. No. It's often because they're just wrapped up in the things of this life. And you can't get them interested in a Bible study, or you can't get them interested in coming to services. Yes, there are people out there that engage in sexual immorality, but a lot of times they're just being choked out by just the simple things that go on from day to day. And the same thing can happen to us. We need to be different from the world. And Jesus says so. Look back in Matthew chapter 6 where we were at. And come now to verse 32, where Jesus has been talking about things that you eat and things that you wear and your stature, your physical body. Look at verse 32. "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." That's what the world focuses on. And in the parallel account in Luke chapter 12 and verse 30, Jesus says there, that's what the nations are focused on. We need to be different. We have those same things, but it's not going to be a focus in our life. And whenever there is a choice between putting the Lord first and serving the Lord and taking care of that first, we're always going to pick that. A second thing that will help us is, number one, realize we need to be different from the world. A second thing that will help us is, look at verse 30. Have a greater faith. Do you know that, and I have seen this many, many times in my life, that if you have to pick between just some cares of this life and coming to church services, God will always make sure that those cares of this life are taken care of. If I've got to pick a gospel meeting or coming to services or some kind of a Bible study. He always finds a way for those other things to be taken care of. Always. I've never seen anything different. We might be thinking, well, if I don't go do such and such, then it'll always get taken care of. The food, the clothing, your body, housing, it all gets taken care of. And then we begin to realize, hey, I didn't actually have to really focus on that. God's going to take care of that. So look at verse 30. Have a greater faith that when we put God first and His will and His kingdom first, these other things He'll make sure always fall into place. But if God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not He much more clothe you, O you of little faith? They had little faith. And when we have little faith, then that means, well, I got to be taken care of, the food, clothing, shelter, and all this kind of stuff. We don't have faith that God will take care of that. And when I have a choice between the two, always put the kingdom first, always pick the kingdom, verse 33. Those other things will take care of itself. So number one, be different from the world. And number two, just have a greater faith. God will always take care of those daily things that have to be taken care of. And then, number three, have a better priority. In verse 33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. First, God, His Word, the kingdom of which the church is, and things involving the church, which again, assembling and being here. You're not missing one thing right now by being here. You're not missing one thing that God will help you take care of. You're not missing one thing. Well, what about eating? No. What about clothing? No. We put the kingdom first, and God will take care of those other things. We're not going to let these just common cares choke out the Word. And then, turn with me to Luke again, 10, 41 and 42, better choices. Do you remember the part there of the story where Jesus says, Mary hath chosen the good part? We've got to make better choices. Choices that show that these cares are not a priority with us. Always send the message to your children that the kingdom is first. This other is secondary. Always show that with your spouse. This other is just not as important. We're always going to choose the good part. She chose to sit at Jesus' feet. You know, if Martha had chosen that, I am convinced that the Lord would have made sure the house was clean and the meal was ready. I mean, but just take some time to sit and listen to Jesus. So make better choices. Jesus is not saying don't do anything to take care of food, shelter, and clothing. He's saying that is not a care. In the sense of that which you go after to distract you from serving me. What's the second thing that Jesus mentions? He says riches. And remember that in Matthew's account and Mark's account, he says the deceitfulness of riches. He's not saying that riches choke out the Word. Is there anybody in the Bible that was rich and that was very faithful? Well, sure. Abraham was in Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says he was rich with his flocks. Job was wealthy, well off. What about Zacchaeus? He's actually called a rich man. We think of him as being the short guy. The text says he was rich. And yet, he climbs down out of that tree and he goes to Jesus and he wants to follow Jesus. He didn't let the riches stand in the way. I love Joseph of Arimathea. He said he was a rich man. And yet, he says, you can have my tomb, Jesus. Jesus doesn't say riches choke out the Word. He says that they can be deceitful. And it's in the deceitfulness of our money That is what can choke out the word, and it can be unfruitful in our life. So what we want to do this evening is we want to see, how is it then that riches deceive? How do riches deceive you and me? Well, we know about the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus in Luke chapter 18 and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And when Jesus said that you need to give up and come follow me, he went away sorrowful. And Jesus says, "How hard is it for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven?" He didn't want to give up. Here's the problem with riches, money, material things, our cars, our homes, money in our bank. We don't want to give it up. It becomes a trust in that. Having that is not what chokes out the word. It's trusting in it, and I don't want to sacrifice and give it up. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. When Jesus was in the temple, the text says that he saw that there were those Jews there in the temple and they were casting into the treasury. Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. "And he sat down over against the treasury and beheld how the multitude cast into the treasury, and many that were" what? "Many that were rich cast in much." But if you keep reading, the problem was they were casting in much, but it was just an excess to them. It was just the skimming off the top. They weren't sacrificing anything. But this widow who throws in her two little mites, she's actually sacrificing, and she gave in more than those rich people. This poor widow cast in more because she sacrificed than all they that are casting into the treasury. "For they all did cast of their excess, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." The older versions say superfluity. Above and beyond, just the excess. They were casting in a lot, but it was just the leftovers, the excess. It wasn't any sacrifice for them. And so it can deceive us. Riches can give us a false sense of security, like the rich farmer who built barns and bigger barns, and he said, "Take thine ease. I'm fine." But when he met God, his soul was not right. Riches can blind us to our spiritual responsibilities. I think about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. The guy fares sumptuously every day. He's got plenty to eat, but he wouldn't give Lazarus anything. And he's a beggar. It blinds us to helping others and being kind to others. That's deceitful. In James chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, do you know what James says? He says, "You rich guys, you're not even paying the men who work in your fields. You're holding back from paying them." It gets to the point where we're blinded to just being a good person. And so it's this type of thing that Jesus says keeps the word from working in our lives. Riches can lead us away from the faith. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 through 10, some who have this love of money, they've been led away from the faith. They've been pierced through with many sorrows. And riches can blind us to our real needs. Wait a minute, I've got a car. I go home to a nice house. I've got a big TV. I've got anything I want. I can go into Clarksville and buy anything I want. And we get to this point where we're good. That was Laodicea. "I am rich. I have need of nothing." We get to the point where we don't even realize our real spiritual needs. It's this type of thing that keeps the word from working in our lives. And so instead of letting riches choke out the word, let's be like Zacchaeus.
who
said, "Jesus, I want you to come home with me today." And Jesus said, "Salvation has come to this man's house." And be like Joseph of Arimathea. Jesus didn't say riches choke out the word. He said the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word. When we allow riches to deceive us in these areas that we've just talked about, God's word does not work in our lives. And then turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. If we will use the good things that God gives us, riches, to share with others, God's word will work in our lives and be fruitful. Use your car to serve others. Use your home to serve others. Why does God give us the things that He gives us? So that we can use that for others. Charge them that are rich in this present world that they be not high-minded, nor have their hopes set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate or share, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on the life which is life indeed. Good works, ready to give away, ready to distribute. Be caring, be giving. Why does God give us the material things that He gives us? So that we can turn around and use those for good to help others in and out of the church. And so when we use our riches to stay faithful and fruitful, it'll never choke out the word. And then last of all, Jesus says, pleasures. The word here means a sensual pleasure. We get our English word hedonism from this Greek word hedone. What is enjoyable to the natural or physical senses? And often it is a pleasure that is just purely an end in itself. I just want to be gratified. And sometimes it is a pleasure at the expense of other things or persons. And you know, when people out in our society, they will go do something, all they're thinking about is me, and if it's at the expense of somebody else, I don't care. I'll trample on someone, I'll abuse someone. It could be something I say, it could be something I do. I don't care about them. I'm going to walk all over them just so that I get pleased. We see that in our society. And so that is a part of this word. However, do you remember what Jesus said in Mark 4? There's something more generic, and that is just simply a strong desire for other things. We have to be careful about that too. I hope none of us here this evening would have this sensual pleasure that is just an end in itself, and we're going to abuse somebody else. I hope we would never have that, but what we might have is just a desire for other things. And so I want to talk about that. You know, things can be just a goal in itself. Do you remember Solomon in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 1 that he sought out pleasure and he wanted to buy anything that he could buy. He wanted to make anything that he could make. And he realized that when I did that, life is just vanity. I need more than that. And so he closes the book with that the whole of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. But when Solomon was just having pleasure for pleasure itself, he saw that that was vanity. There's nothing wrong with having recreation. There's nothing wrong with having rest and relaxation, and we all do that from time to time. But when that becomes a goal in itself, then we are letting that choke out the word. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. He talks about those who are lovers of pleasure. This is the hedone. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Then look at verse 5. Holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof. It just makes us a mediocre Christian. Our attendance suffers. Our Bible study suffers. Why? Because we're just out doing other things. I have a desire for other things. It just makes us a mediocre Christian. We have this form of godliness, but we've denied the power thereof. It can cause us to focus on our own personal happiness instead of our duty to God. And you know people like this. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Sometimes we need to be careful that the word doesn't get choked out in our life just because we're doing something that, well, that makes me happy. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul said, "For we also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another." Look at that, disobedient. We're just out having a good time. But we're not serving God. And so sometimes these lusts for other things, these pleasures, can just cause us to, well, what makes me happy? And he had to learn it's about obeying God. Serving divers, various desires. No, I need to be serving God. So you can see how that would choke out the word. It can hurt ourselves and others. James talks about how that brethren are warring over their pleasures. It can make us more brazen. Peter talks about in 2 Peter 2:13 about those who revel in their pleasure, and it says there that they're doing that in the daytime. You know, sometimes when people want to go serve some lust of theirs, in the old days it was at night. You did it in the covert of night and you tried to hide it. But 2 Peter 2:13 says they're engaged in their pleasures in the daytime. I don't care what anybody thinks. And we can let our own personal desires get to that point if we're not careful. These things, Jesus says, chokes out the word. So what we need is better choices. What did Moses choose in Hebrews 11:25? He chose to suffer ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We've got to make better choices. And then we've got to focus on doing God's will. The pleasures of this life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, these things are going to pass away, John says. But he that doeth the will abideth forever. And so focus on doing God's will. As we come to the close of our lesson then, family, jobs, vacation, sports, recreation, hobbies, non-Christian friends. Sometimes these things can fall into the category of cares and pleasures and riches that choke out the word. We're not engaged in any kind of sexual immorality or unauthorized practice or false teaching, but these kinds of things, where maybe some of them in and of themselves are fine and good, that becomes the very thing that chokes out the word and does not allow it to happen in our lives. The local work of the church, assembling, choked out by cares and riches and pleasures. Giving. We're not giving as we should. We're not studying the Bible or being a part of Bible study opportunities. We're not doing personal work. We're not bringing someone to Jesus like Andrew did, his brother in John 1, and Philip found Nathaniel. We're not teaching. We're not being hospitable. We're not being benevolent. And we could go on and on and on. It's not the fornication and the adultery that's getting us, or the false teaching, or the unscriptural practices. It's just simply the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Because that can be so deceitful, I wanted to remind us this evening of something that is very common that can keep us from that improvement that we talked about this morning. Well, the lesson is yours. As we stand and sing this song of encouragement, I want us to think about the importance of keeping these things out of our lives and focusing on God. You may need to do that this evening by coming forward and responding to the gospel or come back in some way. But rather than choking out the word, let's be the good and honest heart each day where that word works in our life. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?